Have you been struggling to find your team's ethos, that one North Star that's keeping them motivated, inspired, and driving forward to achieve great things? If so, then this episode, it's for you. Today, I sit down with Francie Molina out of Westchester, who talks about her team's four tenets. We also talk about the power of hosting events, listening to clients, writing notes, and just simply being present. Now, before we get started, if you find value in content like this, go ahead and hit that subscribe button now. And as always, I'm your referral partner out of San Francisco, Sean Kunkler. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. Thrilled to be here.
You have no idea how excited I am to chat with you. You are the model of your business. Is when I grow up, it's the model I want. I'm in awe of your business. To give people listening some context, your team did $130 million last year, and you've been in the business yourself for 13 years, have done over 700 transactions. And more importantly is you've created this amazing team around you to allow you to do the things you enjoy the most.
Correct.
That's so intriguing to me. And I want to give a shout out and a thank you to David Schlichter out of Colorado, who told me, he's like, you absolutely have to talk to Francie. She's amazing. She'll blow your mind. And then he's like, be forewarned, you're going to get a lot of Francie-isms throughout your conversation. And I was like, I'm in. I'm ready for this.
Love the Francie-isms.
We were actually joking that you have so many that someday you're going to put them into a book. And I look forward to that.
You'll get the first copy.
I love it. Well, when you release it, we'll promote it on the show. So please definitely give me a call. So talk to me about your team. You have a small but mighty team.
Sure. So we sell Westchester County, which is the county north of New York City. So like just like you're in a big city, we're the suburban county with no bridge between the commute. So in New Jersey or Long Island, you have to jump on a bridge to get out to your home after work. Westchester is just directly north of New York City. It's carved out of a forest. It's very beautiful. And on the way to the Catskills and the mountains of Vermont. So it's a lot of folks, when they're moving out of New York City, choose it because of its beauty and its proximity to everything. My team is geographically diverse, and we live in the areas we sell. We've had the honor of selling the most houses in Westchester for the last 3 years. So it's a great run.
How many selling agents do you have on your team?
Including me, I have 8 producing female agents, and we have one full-time team manager who does the job of like 5 people. And he handles all of the back office and everything from, soup to nuts.
That's incredible. So you, essentially just one person on back-end support.
Yep. He's amazing. And he created all the systems for the team, everything.
That's incredible. I mean, that individual must be just a godsend.
He was hired by Compass too.
Really?
Yeah, through Talent for Teams. Back in the day in New York, they had a program. I mean, I bow down to the folks who found him. I am so grateful every day of my life. He's been with us for 5 years.
That's amazing. Kat, my support staff, she actually just celebrated yesterday her 3rd year with me. And absolute same things, a total godsend of agents are crazy running all over doing everything. And they're just like, they're the glue holding it all together. And so I definitely tip my hat.
If you don't have an assistant, you are the assistant. And he's a team manager. He is so much higher level than assistant, but I've done this business without anybody. And boy, I'll never do that again.
It's hard when you're a solo because you're doing not only everything, but you're doing the things you're really not good at.
No. And you shouldn't be doing.
And you're also just not finding joy. It's like there's areas that we all find joy.
Exactly. Did you ever do the exercise with your team where you fold the paper in half and on the left you put the stuff you love to do and on the right you put the stuff you don't want to do?
No.
It's an easy one and it's fun and you learn a lot about your team. But on the right side of that is any back office I don't want to do. I did that for my first 5 years in the business and I'd be up till like 1 o'clock in the morning because you're running around with clients all day and we're driving because like you, not in New York City where they're on the subway or walking. So to have to pick up the pieces after, it was like my banking career. I would be in meetings all day and then you'd finally get back to your desk at 6 and you'd have to do a financial analysis. You want to, at 6 o'clock, you want to be meeting a client for a drink.
It's really funny. I just scheduled something the other day and I completely mucked up my whole schedule. And Kat was like, you should just let me do it. Like, there's areas that we don't have that strength. That's not our superpower. Just let the people who are really amazing at it run with it. So tell me more about your team. I know you have a unique philosophy. You have the four tenets that you all live by. Talk to me a little bit about that.
It's evolving. So back in the day, at my first Compass retreat, 8 retreats ago, I saw some rock stars, Courtney Smith, who's the top teams division head now, and Stephanie Younger on stage. I've seen them a million times, but they would talk about how, you get out of production and you run the team and you don't work weekends and you don't run around with buyers and sellers. And I thought, oh, what do they know, right? I thought I could never get there. But as the team has evolved, I'm out of production on the buy side, and I share my listings with someone on the team, all listings. So, and that enables me to live by these tenets and help grow a team that's a circle of, so our first one is our team is a circle of safety and support. It's really a vault. What happens on the Francine Molina team never happened. We can talk amongst ourselves, we can vent all day and every day, but it never leaves the team. We have no competition within. Culture is everything. So if I share a listing with someone, the girls on my team, first of all, bring in their own business as well. They're amazing. They're rock stars. They can all go out on their own right and be very successful. But they choose to they honor me with their presence. But they're empowered. We're always in growth mode. We're never in coast mode. And we can stay that way because we have each other to push us up. Rising tides raise all ships. Some of us are tired after, a long week, and the others are killing it and getting, 4 AOs, and it raises the bar for the others. 2023, we had a very good year, but it wasn't for our team. It wasn't a great year relative to the industry. It was a good year. But I said publicly 1,000 times, they're getting paid first. I was going to make sure that, I'm still sharing all my listings and I'm not pulling back and I'm still leaning in and spending a lot of money on marketing because, the team is just, it's like a family. And, there's that saying, not my Francieism. Most Francieisms are not mine, but there's a saying, it's better to have 10,000 enemies outside the tent than one in. And I have no enemies in my tent. Everybody is there to support the team. And it's just, it's heaven.
If you're in a safe space and you're all protecting each other, you're then all moving towards the same goals. It's such a cool, it's very refreshing. And again, as I shared, your trajectory at what you've built is where I want to push my business personally. And so I think it's very cool that you have those pieces.
I think the key is, and I don't have it, is you can't have key man risk either. You'll hear agents or team leaders around the country, one producer, one top producer on the team. It's wonderful that they're soaring, but you can't be handcuffed to one. This is a team. We're not on stage in the theater where there's the star and then the supporting actors and actresses. On my team, I don't want any stars. I want us all to be stars. And it works. So, and many of them have been with me, or a few of them have been with me over 5 years. And when they go, I'll cry and I'll cheerlead them in the sandbox the next day. And I say that to them. They can go start their teams in their own right, but I hope they stay as long as they're happy.
It's interesting. One of my philosophies is, if you treat people really awesome and then you give them everything they need, they can leave at any point and be highly successful. But you're providing so much value of them being there that they want to stay. And I think as a leader, having that as a mindset of really genuinely owning that is really incredibly important. In addition to your point of, if everybody's winning, then we're all winning. And it's like, we're all, it's my favorite quote, which you said, is a rising tide lifts all boats. And that's it's a Kennedy quote. And I always try to keep that in mind with whether it's this podcast or with my team within the real estate space, is if the base, the water is rising, then we're all rising. And so, like, who's it good for? Is it good for the collective, everybody here, or is it good for just me as the leader? It might be like, you know, catapulted to the front line, and then everybody else is going to suffer because of it.
Yeah. And we could unpack this for hours, but something I hear from people around the country is, I can't share all my listings. Like, I need whatever. Absolutely. I get it. I just can imagine it's hard to be a team agent watching a team leader. I've been doing it much longer than the women on my team. Do all this business while you're struggling to bring in. And like I said, the girls on my team bring in plenty of business, but clearly I've been doing it longer and I get a lot of repeat business and I've been around longer. So it worked for me. I don't think everybody can do it. I don't think my way of doing it is the right way or the wrong way, but this is the way I can show up every Tuesday at our team meetings and feel like I'm serving them just like they're serving me.
So to kind of unpack that lead side of things, and that is where in having these amazing conversations with agents at all different levels, all over the country, selling at all different price points, that handoff component is really hard of, as you shared, of not only one, we love to be in control of everything, totally get and respect that, but also I'm going to be making less. And so if I hand it off, I'm not going to actually be living the same lifestyle. So how did you get to the point to be able to start to actually do more of that?
I think it was the work-life balance thing. I wanted my weekends more. I didn't, you know, especially right this weekend is a perfect example. Like today in Westchester, like five houses probably just came on. In fact, I saw some coming on before we got on the podcast. And I would have my weekend set to have showings and whatnot. And then the five houses that come on Friday afternoon and your whole weekend is blown. You end up working constantly. And because we do Google leads, my team has a lot of things going on. We do gifting, we're going to talk about. We do events. Monday through Friday, Trevor, my team manager, and I, we hit the ground running at 7 and we don't stop running till 7 p.m. So I work a full solid week. It just got to be too much to work all weekend as well. And run around with buyers and run around with sellers and then try to meet the needs of the team. This just enables me to really, this week, you know, I pretty much every single week check in with every single agent at least twice. And we have a team meeting also. And this week we just went to something today on Westchester County Tourism. We like to be in front of a lot of people because the more people you're in front of, the more business you get. So going to those events takes time. I need to be out there rainmaking. I can't be running around servicing clients solo because I won't be serving the team. So generating leads for them is my job.
For you and the way you've grown your business, that absolutely works. And I think it's brilliant. Of how many transactions, just to kind of get some context, do you actually facilitate from beginning to end versus how many you hand off?
If I bring in 60 listings or 50 listings, I try to refer ones that I can to the agent so they can do it all themselves. So I think last year I participated in like 40 or 50. But again, I'm sharing it with a rock star. So I can just jump on the phone from, you know, I was in Africa on the phone a couple of years ago with the seller, but I wasn't alone with that seller because someone was locally here. I can be in Vermont. I can be at my lake. So I participate in a lot, but they also do a ton. That's the next tenet of our business. Now I could hire so well and it would be so easy for me. But when I started this team and I really didn't know what I was doing, I hired from my heart, not right. So you want to work with me, you got to show up and follow up. That's it. I am so type A. Some people might say type A on steroids, but you're meeting the client at 1 o'clock and you're not in front of that house at 12:45, you're late. If you have to use the ladies room during the showing, I'm kind of not going to be thrilled with you because that's the client's time. And my team is the cream of the crop. Like they know that stuff. They came to the team that way. You know, we show up, we follow up. If you're persistent, you're going to get it. But if you're consistent, you're going to keep it. And that's, I think, how I, 13 years in the business and I'm selling the most houses in Westchester, that shouldn't happen. There's people here doing it 30 years. But it's having a CRM, having a scalable, repeatable, predictable process for doing real estate. That's what's made us who we are. And this is a true Franciism. I didn't steal it from anybody, but I think real estate is just a robotic exercise. We do almost the same thing on every transaction with nuance. every deal, the 300,000 versus the 10 million, it's still taking the same cadence. The personalities are different. The situation's different, but it's pretty robotic. So you can systematize it beautifully like Trevor did. So congratulations, you have an AO and it automatically goes out. Click here, click here, click here. Congratulations, you're in contract. Here's our resource list. Here's our resource website. Eliminating all that from our day. Oh my God, it was life changing. So sharing with the girls on the listings, I can jump on a phone anywhere and all that stuff is created. There's nothing a seller can ask us or a buyer that we don't know. So it works, it's magic. But the key is you have to follow up. You have to stay in touch. I can get to that, all that, but we gift our clients twice a year. Systematically, March and September, we host tons of community events. You know, it's just, we have a whole system in place that you can't really forget our names. We're kind of annoying. We're in your face all the time. I mean, really, it's obnoxious.
If people don't know who you are, they're not doing business with you. And that's, I say that to my team all the time. Like if they don't know of us and they're not thinking of us, you're not getting the phone call. It's never going to happen. But I hope the one thing that people are starting to pull out of this is we've only gotten two of the four tenants and we've talked about your team. But if you really listen to the underlying layer, it's clearly you've thought deeply about all these components and there's a system to support it. And that is so incredibly important because you can't make these the growth or the quantum leap without having this structure. And if you do, you can't replicate it to maximize it.
A funny story about it is back in the day when we were a team of like three or four, and we used to do the gifts. I came up with the idea, like particularly the buyers that move up from New York City, right? They move to town. You don't want them standing on the pickup line at school and saying, "We loved our agent. I can't think of her name. What was her name?" And that's the story of my life. I can't think of anybody's name. So we started gifting the March and September. But my gift list, because I was like me and a couple agents, was on a notebook paper. And then when we get to September, I'd have to get that stack of notebook paper and think of all the people we sold to. Of course, Trevor, every time we closed something, tag someone in the CRM, you know, whatever the tags, gift list, you know, any inquiry gift list, he's back there doing it. And the machine is perfect. The day we're delivering the gifts, he generates a sheet for each agent where they have to drop. And that's it. But, you know, how it changed our life, just having all these systems in place, because the agent isn't the person to create the systems. They're just not. It's really someone whose brain works like that.
You know, even going to just to the simple act of giving a gift, if you just say to an agent, "Hey, you're going to be giving a gift on this day to all your clients," they're going to noodle on what the heck to give as a gift for 2 weeks. And right. And as soon as you have the right operations person, like Kat, "Hey, I found three gifts. Which of these three do you like?"
Yeah. Like, he gets samples. He gets the samples. We bring him to the meeting, and we try to do female-owned businesses, small female-owned businesses. It's not always easy, but most of them are. And there's a poem that goes along with every gift. So the theme is you're going to get these gifts for like the next 30 years in that house. So there's always a poem with them. But yeah, and he's got it down to a science. And you know, our job is to over-prepare for our pitches and whatever and use what we need. You walk in, you've got to be an expert. You've got to be an expert on all your scripts. We don't really do scripting, but expert on delivering, educating. We don't have time to be, you know, figuring all that other stuff out. So it alleviates that burden. But what people would say about us, if you stop people on the street, they'd say, yeah, they show up and follow up. That's what we do. You can't get rid of us. Some people say, "I bought the house 10 years ago. When do I fall off the list?" Or this week they're going to get a home maintenance checklist that's laminated in their mailbox, reminding them everything they should do in their house each month. Because, you know, it's winter here and you got to clean. Before winter, you got to clean your gutters. You got to turn the hose spigots, all that stuff. They're going to get that every year. We're always staying in touch so that we can help them maintain their homes as well. So we're continuing to provide information to them all year long on just lifestyle. And that's like our third tenet. We don't sell houses. We sell lifestyles. So they're going to hear from us about new restaurants, we'll host farmers market events like petting zoos and, you know, firehouse open houses so the kids can play with the fire trucks. But we're selling you a lifestyle that we live. Our kids are also, or our families are joining us here for holidays and whatnot. So that's the big thing. We don't sell houses really. When you come with us, you're kind of shopping with friends and you're learning about the life of Westchester. Or when you're leaving, you're hiring us because we're selling the lifestyle that you had for your family or you and your spouse or whatnot, your partner.
The lifestyle is genuinely the crux of it. If the average person stays in their home or their property for 14 plus years, there's no way you can hit them over the head with, are you ready to buy or sell today? Because they're not. But if you're providing them similar to what we always share, restaurant openings or events or just things that are happening. And we always, similar to you, we try to skew to either what's happening in the month, what's happening culturally.
And you have a lot of culture.
We do. And we try to focus on small businesses or just things that fall off of everybody's radar of, and we all know where the coffee shops are. That's great. But where's like that new random Filipino restaurant that just popped open and there's so few of them that most people don't even know where they are? Like, how do we really focus in on that?
And they must love to hear that stuff.
They do. And I think, you know, within our business, it gives people more touch points of who we are rather than, oh, they just sell real estate. Because if you think about your very best friend or even just close friends, you know far more about them than just their job. Like, you know what they enjoy doing, where they like to vacation. And so it's the same with us, is if we can layer it in, which I love that you actually created a whole tenant about it in your presence and how you're doing all these components. It's really genuinely, I think it's such a thoughtful way to approach this.
Absolutely. Because, you know, so we'll do at the one of the farmers markets, we have this petting zoo that comes every year and it's so fun. And he has miniature goats and people get in the pen and they hold the goats and whatever. And, you know, we meet hundreds of people we don't know because we sell a ton of houses in that town. I actually happen to live in that town. But, you know, we just get to know the community. And for weeks after that, I'll be in the deli and they'll say, I met you at the farmer's market. Like, why'd you do that? Why did I do it? You moved up from Brooklyn. Do you think it's the greatest place on earth? They're like, we're so happy we found it. We want to continue to provide community events so that, you know, you enjoy your lifestyle. We sold you. We probably didn't sell that person a lifestyle, but someone sold them a lifestyle. We want them to enjoy it. It's such a great, you know, we're so fortunate to live where we live, both of us. So, you know, it's nice to run a team where you can spotlight that.
You just hit the nail on the head. Is really genuinely, we spotlight it, and then that thing, the event or that place or whatever it is, becomes the focal point, and then we become associated with it, like that couple from Brooklyn. And then when it's time for them to make a move, immediately you're already part of that conversation, and they already have so much context about you that they're like, oh yeah, I remember meeting these people and they were really cool. It's like you're halfway home at that point.
A lot of agents around the country will call me and say, well, I want to come to your events to see how you do it. It is not brain surgery. Like, we hosted Trolls 3, the movie, in November on the day it comes out. It comes out on a Friday night. Our clients' kids are, you know, little, so they're not coming Friday night. So we rent the movie theater out for Saturday morning. We did the same thing with Frozen 2. Get 350 people in the movie theater. You provide, you know, a popcorn, a snack, and a drink for everybody who comes. You know, a whole little, we give them a little toy. And some of our clients were texting us from inside the movie theater, and because we're still welcoming people, and they're like, the community you've built around your business is so amazing, because they know a lot of people in the movie theater, but they're meeting other people in the movie theater because Westchester's a big county. Or we did a bingo night the other night at one of our favorite restaurants, and just lots of people, we invited everybody, and lots of random people walked in. And it's so easy to do. You don't have to overthink it. I have a tenant. I stole it, I think, from Tom Ferry, but it's 80% good. I've noticed, only being in the business 13 years, agents overthink everything, and they become just handcuffed in place. I there was a joke at my old brokerage. I move so fast. I'm like calming myself down to talk slowly today, but I would run in and run out and show like 15 houses in a day. And these colleagues of mine would still be working on like the marketing for one listing. So you don't have to overthink anything. You bring up 50 people in to play bingo on a Thursday night and throw some chips and stuff on each table and let them order food at the restaurant. They have the best time, I can assure you. You know, so, and, you know, of course, that bingo, you won money, but we also gave out FM team, like picnic blankets and whatever. I can assure you the people who didn't know who we were when they went home with their picnic blanket are like, oh, those people are great. So it's pretty easy. We're not reinventing the wheel. It's robotic.
It's really true. I mean, it's funny. I had a conversation earlier with Ryan Garson out of New York.
Oh, do you love him?
I was blown away too.
Oh, similar, my God.
Just like
the best.
The layer in his approach. But similar to you, he goes really hard on events. And we were talking and unpacking that. And, you know, there was nothing like yours. There was nothing incredibly unique or special about the event. It just happened. And the most important part was get people to come and show them a good time. And that's it. And then my huge takeaway with him was, if that's what you're going to do, do it consistently. And that's it.
And the big difference between me and Ryan Garson is he's so much cooler than me. I mean, he's so cool and he throws it together and he just brings people together and it's fun. And you want to be with those people, right? You want to be there. You go once. You're like, I don't want to miss that next time because that was so fun.
That's the important component. And so whether it's like if you really focus hard on gifting or doing a different marketing or events, I feel, especially from having conversations with you and these other heavy hitters who are performing at a high level, it's really the consistency component is to your point and to Tom Ferry's quote is 80% good is good enough. Get it done. Just execute it, but keep doing it consistently. Out of curiosity now, how many events do you and your team host in the course of a year?
Probably at least 8. It depends on the year. You know, almost try to do 1 a month. I guess if you're including Women of Compass, probably 10. I'll be on a Women of Compass panel for International Women's Day. I host Women of Compass events at retreat. So yeah, maybe 10. You know what it is though? The problem for you and me now is in this business, there's so many pillars of building business and you kind of have to do them all. So as much as we're doing events and we do them consistently and we're doing gifts and we do it consistently, we're doing Google ads. We do that consistently. We were talking beforehand about social media. We do it consistently. You have to do them all. You have to be consistent. I'm amazed at some folks who will say, you know, I took a break for a bit because I was exploring something else and now I'm coming back. If you're running a business, you don't really get to take a break. You have to pay someone else to do it. So we got a lot going on, but the girls on my team and Trevor, they all contribute. It's not you show up and I just give you a lead and you go work the lead. We're all invested in each other's success, the team's success, and keeping the brand alive. And the fourth tenet, which is like my favorite and the most important, is we leave in a limo. So our team chases reviews, not commissions. We will never have a disagreement with an agent, a client, a service provider. Even if we're 1,000% right, we leave in a limo. So occasionally, my favorite thing is when someone tells you who you are, who they are, believe them. Occasionally, we make the mistake of maybe taking someone who's told us who they are at the beginning of a transaction, and they're not going to be easy to deal with. But we convince ourselves somehow that we're going to get through it better than the next person. And those people are hard to leave in a limo with. But it's so important in this business not to maintain relationships. And you could do 99% well and 1% goes bad. And that's the soundbite at the cocktail party that includes your brand. And we can't do that. These towns are small. We all live in different ones. And we go on a pitch and we have pages and pages of all the homes we sell. And you'll hear me say, or you'll hear one of the girls say, pick any one of those and we'll give you that person's phone number and you can ask for a review. So one thing that we've really gotten better at, and I was the worst at this, is we don't really use DISC. We use that Merrick Rosenberg, I think, the owl, the parrot, the eagle, but it's what personality we're dealing with. And, you know, people are telling you on the pitch or they're telling you on the first meeting as a buyer who they are. Sometimes maybe we're not the best fit for them. And I think now we're more comfortable that we can be more honest and say, you know, maybe there's, and it's hard, and I'm not saying we do it often, but we have to know what we're getting ourselves into, because we're always, always, always leaving in a limo. Can't fight with your client. You can't fight with other agents. Just can't.
It's true. I love that. That's the whole brokerage philosophy. It's always a constant good reminder for all of us, just collectively across the board. But you're right. I've had those clients they were hard in the beginning, they were hard in the middle, and they were hard at the end, and it never got easier. And you have that, especially in the early days, you have this whimsical idea. It's going to be good.
Yes. I'm going to win them over.
And it's like once the stress starts piling on and the transaction gets going, it just gets worse. And it's really hard, I would say. It's exceptionally hard, but it's also exceptionally freeing to just say, I'm not the best person for this, but let me introduce you to somebody who is, and walk away. And then everybody gets to walk away or drive away in the limo. We don't have tenants per se, but we definitely have parallels. Our motto on the back end is lead with relationship. And it's, you never know who you're going to bounce off of next. So just always lead with the relationship. The money will follow. Everything else follows that. But if you don't have that core piece, you're dead in the water.
My father is an oncologist and a hematologist, but he's retired. But, you know, he would just say, put out good in the world and see what comes back. And that was really hard in this job. Like, I was a banker before, way before, but I worked at other brokerages before this, and you couldn't put out good in the world. For whatever reason, you just couldn't. It didn't come back. It was very tough. But Compass, like, just changed the whole face for me and my team personally. We were the first Westchester agents, and just to meet the New York City and the DC and the Boston agents and just see the collaborate without ego principle alive and well every day was just life changing.
For a lot of us, when you have that epiphany moment of the reality is I'm only competing with somebody when we go to the same listing or if we're writing on the same offer, but otherwise we're not competing, we're collaborating. And when you realize that you're actually collaborating 99% of the time, locally and on a national level, it completely changes the way you perceive everybody around you. And you do start perceiving it, like you start putting good out because it becomes a safer place. It's not, no one's trying to, listen, if you have a listing and I have a buyer, we have to collaborate and we have to work together. We have to ultimately help the seller and buyer meet their needs. And so we're just, that's it. That's all we're doing.
Yes. Yes. But when I got into the business, and this is Westchester, this is a suburban county, it was very different. The seller's agent acted like he or she owned the world. The truth is the buyer's agent is bringing the dollars to the table. Now, we don't ever operate like that anymore. And I don't think things operate here anymore like that anyway, but our job is just to facilitate. Both buyer and seller needs need to be met for a successful transaction. We are just here to move it along.
To all leave in the limo together.
Yes, and a nice stretch limo.
You know, and I kind of want to do a quick rewind for especially the newer agents listening, because I know when I was newer and I would listen to a conversation like this, it's daunting to hear somebody who's been in the business for 13 years and they have all of these things happening and all the cylinders are firing perfectly. I just want to remind people that Rome wasn't built in a day and it's taken you 13 years to get to this amazing point. And there's so many trials and tribulations and stumbles and falls and everything that happened. And to simplify and give yourself permission to be 80%. And I would also say to anybody listening is, sure, there's events and social media. It's just pick one and become an expert at that first and then get the revenue to come up first and then start building. Don't try to do everything at once. You're going to fail. Like you're not setting yourself up for success. And so I just want to give people that quick rewind because I hear what you're doing and I'm like, oh my God, I should be doing 20 times more. But it's like, I can only do one more than I was doing yesterday. So let me just add that one thing.
Some suggestions along those lines. I 1000% agree with all that. And first of all, I always pick up my phone. So call me anytime for questions, anybody. I'll mentor. I'm always available to help. But I mess up every day. To get to where I am was the most squiggly, zigzagged, awful line you'd ever see in your life. I still mess up every single day. I mean, I think Trevor goes home and he laughs like, oh my God, she screwed up so badly today. So allow yourself to fail. Like the best things in my life have come out of failure. But the other thing I would say is, like, I have this great friend, Bianca. She's the queen of queens. She works at Compass. She's amazing. Like, she gave me an idea for a postcard that my team is going to use. I had it created in marketing, and then I sent it to her in the marketing center to use there. So if you're doing this solo, but you've had the opportunity to meet an agent in a different marketplace than you, collaborate. Let one person create some marketing. It's okay to use it. You're in different markets. And the other person, if their strength is planning an event, let them give you the run of show for that event. We don't all have to create our own. So I have masterminds. I have groups all the time where we share all our stuff. I mean, that's the magic for me of Compass. But rip off and duplicate. That's a Tom Ferry, right? If someone else is doing something well around the country, grab it.
That's the whole point of this podcast, is to be honest, and I tell everybody this selfishly, I wanted to be able to find these amazing agents who are doing incredible things and pop open the hood and see the engine. And I wanted to like poke and prod and learn what they're doing because I'm insanely curious. But the byproduct is that you're sharing it with our whole audience base. And if one person can take one thing and apply it, that's the rising tide that's lifting. It's lifting every single one of the ships. And that's what it's about.
If you want a rainbow, you have to put up with the rain. So I put up with a lot of rain, and I still do every day. I am at a place of abundance always. I in my prior brokerages, it felt like you had to be in scarcity. You had to pull you put your stuff away when you walked away from the desk. You had to. I was doing a presentation in San Diego, and Rob Refkin was sitting in the front row. And I said, I'm going to retire here. I will never work another brokerage. And I looked down. I'm like, I'm not negotiating very well for myself. But I feel so comfortable that there are people, 30,000 agents around the country, 10,000 of them would share stuff with me, and I'll share with them. So, like, it's great. So don't reinvent the wheel. My phone number's everywhere. Your phone number's everywhere. Just put one foot in front of the other. And the other thing I would say is be present where your feet are. And I think that's another thing about agents. Like, comparison is the thief of joy. I don't really look. We keep that's part of the dream of the Francine Molina team. We kind of keep our head down. We don't really look. A lot of people are doing absolutely wonderful things around us that we just don't have the capacity, or we're not in that price point, or we're not this. I'm happy for them. I am so impressed, but we try to just move forward in our lane. We stay in our lane.
It's brutal, because if you're following 100 agents and five of them are showing seven, let's say, are showing one deal a day, you're seeing a deal a day and you're thinking, why am I not getting a deal a day? But the reality is you have a whole slew, 90 something people who are not getting a deal a day. And so it's only serving up this one piece of it. And to your point, comparison is the killer of joy.
And did you see Realtor.com came out yesterday? The average agent did 4 deals last year, and this year they think they'll do 3. So that person on social media, God bless them that they're doing a deal a day, and they're amazing. But the vast majority of people that aren't posting on social media are doing very few.
That's brutal. I didn't know the projection for 2024 was actually less than 2023.
Yes, it's brutal. We have 1.8 months of inventory on the market in Westchester right now.
In San Francisco, we have, it's virtually no inventory, and we're also not building any more single family homes. So the ones that pop up, it's a feeding frenzy. It's insane at how many people are just like clamoring over the few properties that we have. So I'm hoping things will change. But yeah, I mean, you know, keeping your head down and figuring out how you, the individual, can just move forward and progress and grow. It's so important. I mean, not only for your business, but for your mental health. So let's do a quick recap just in case anybody was lost, can you run through the four tenets?
Yes. Our team is a circle of safety and support. And that's because of my prior experience where, you know, people, you didn't feel comfortable telling anybody anything. So it's very clear on our team. We have a lot of colleagues who love us at different brokerages. They'll tell us stuff that's coming on. They'll tell us the inside scoop. So everything that's discussed within the team stays in the team. We show up and follow up. We don't sell houses. We sell lifestyles. And we leave in a limo. And obviously under all of those is all the stuff that all the meat. But that just enables us to just keep our head down, stay in our lane, and be who we are and we're very authentic. Like we sell a broad range of homes from, I don't know, say 500,000 to occasionally 8 million, you know, the taxes are so high in Westchester that the prices are depressed because of the carry, but the meat and potatoes of what we do is we sell shelter. We sell home and school and space for folks who want to get out of the city because the space is limited there. So we're authentic. We are who we are. And those tenets really serve us well.
Back into those. What inspired you to even come up with having those to start with?
The circle of safety and support was key because in prior experiences, you know, I was mentoring agents, or I believe we didn't have teams back in the day, but they were part of my group structure. And then, you know, they were I had an assistant who I sent out to a listing that I was closing, and the neighbor came outside and said, "Are you selling that?" And the assistant said, "Yes." She was licensed. And, she was there with the painter that does all my work. And he said, "I want you to come pitch my house." And she came back to the office and didn't tell and she went and pitched it. I actually found out because the painter called me immediately and said, "Francie, I do his house too. He wants you, not her." So luckily I had the heads up, but not being able to trust the people around me, I can tell you with 2,000% certainty, no one on my team would ever do that. Nor would I ever take their client, do anything to, like, it's just, it's home. Our team is home. So that was what drove that. The show up and follow up is, I'm maybe type A, but my husband is type A on steroids, like corporate lawyer, you know, you bill by the hour, we're merging companies, you know, the client owns you. So you gotta, like, someone sends you an email or a text and you're with another client or whatever. You should always pay attention to that client, but say, "Got it. We'll be back to you when I'm done." Like, you always have to be tagging up. You always have to be respectful of the client's time. You have to show up on time. You have to follow up like you said you would. If you told them you're setting up a collection, it better come within a few hours. So that's, I have high standards. He has high standards living with him. I learned that the easy and the hard way. And then shopping with friends, you know, the Ryan Serhant thing. I don't want to be sold to. So I didn't think our clients would want to be sold to. The girls on my team wouldn't want to be sold to. So selling lifestyles is really the way we want to behave. We have so much fun with our clients. A week can't pass. And it happened yesterday with two of our team members. They met new clients. They're like, "I'm so in love with them." And each one of them in the group is talking about how much they love them. You know, we like our clients. We want to enjoy the time with them. We like their kids. We like their parents. The leave in the limo is, I've been screamed at so many times in my life by other agents at other brokerages, or I've seen agents scream at their clients on a closing walkthrough day.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, in any city, you probably see that occasionally too, right?
We definitely have off-kilter clients for sure. And agents and everybody in between.
Yeah. So we had a seller's agent screaming at our buyers once at a closing and walkthrough. And I was like, "Oh my God." So you know what I always say, and I said this to the team today because we were at a house pricing it. The buyer or the seller are in such a vulnerable position when they're selling or buying. And COVID made it so apparent. I went into so many houses during lockdown where the people looked at me and said, "You're the only human that walked into this house. Our children, our grandchildren, nobody's been here." Can you believe the respect and sort of the trust they give us, like this house that we were going into, they told us we had sold it to them, but not that long ago. And they told us the side doors open, go in because we were pricing. And I got in the house and I said, ladies, just for 1 minute, let's just reflect on that. They just let us into their house. They're not home. We're wandering through this giant house. And, you know, my husband doesn't leave the house so unlocked for random, you know, the painter or whoever's coming, right? He thinks twice about that. He tries to be home, whatever. So I think the position that we're in as realtors, you know, the consumer can expect a lot from us and we should deliver it. We have to elevate the profession, which is one of Compass's principles.
So true. And I really, to go back to your third tenet is, and it's something that I always live by, is we love to buy, but we hate to be sold.
Yes, I love that. You've got a lot of isms. We love to buy, hate to be sold.
I've been around the block too.
Yes, you have.
It's funny just thinking about that one and how many times you and I have walked into a store and the moment somebody behind the counter says, even hi, how are you? You say, no, just looking. Because out of default, you don't want to be sold.
I don't ever.
We go shields up. And so to your point, it's such a blessing and such a gift when our client's shield comes down and they say, the door is unlocked, our home is open, and you know, feel free to ask any questions while you're there, or whatever it is. And it's, you're right. Like, it's to have built a relationship to the point of that is so sacred and it's so incredible that they're trusting you with this incredible investment of theirs. And especially post COVID, when we were all just absolutely losing our minds and paranoid and not a healthy headspace. And so to get to that point is just, it's very cool that you and your team have built that within the community. And so I applaud you. And I hope, if nothing else, that our whole community or anybody listening is inspired to do the same, to continue to do the same thing out there.
I wanted to go back to something you said before we finish up, for the newer agent, something I wish someone had told me, and Ninja did tell me, but it was much later in the game, back in the day, is it matters who says it. And I'm sure you think this all the time, but what I've noticed is, yes, I say very little at pitches these days. I listen and I let the seller tell me who they are and who, you know, if there's two, who they both are. And with buyers, and my team has become expert at it. And today, Melissa, one of our rock stars, you know, she has a listing on, direct lead comes in, whatever, but she's learned the art so masterfully that they're making an offer on this house, but also they have a house to sell and they're already sharing that and already like, when can you come see our house? To create that kind of relationship that quickly, it's an art. There's no science to it. You can't script it. You can't, but we've learned so masterfully over 13 years and a lot of pain to let people speak and let them be heard.
Sales is not a skill. It's 100% an art. And there's an art to listening. And my favorite phrase when I'm in a presentation or anytime I'm talking to clients is, tell me more about that.
Me too. I love that.
Because you get so much more. And if you ask it a couple of times, you wind up digging to not the generic why, but you actually get to the emotional why. And then you can really understand why they're hardlining the negotiation or why they're just adamant about having that third room or whatever it may be. But if you can just be really curious and be open and be vulnerable, they will share it. But you just have to give them the space, create that space for them to actually get to that point. And it's hard because we want to just sell. Like, we want to go, go, go. Like, let's just sell. And you have to really step back and just follow up with another question.
Agreed. And agents, newer agents that I'll call me and mentor around the country, those, I say, I bring that pitch book and the folder and it has everything you need about the Francie Millie team. I never open it once. I go on pitches 99.9% of the time. It's left on the table at the end. I always say I'm leaving you all this stuff, but I say so little about us and I really want to hear about them. And then of course, if they ask at the end, well, what are you going to do that's different than the next person, then, you know, then you add it.
And by then you've already asked what's important to you. And so you already know exactly how you're going to answer it anyways. And I also, you know, it's funny. When I was working on my listing presentation pitch, I approached a few agents and was basically brought them in on deals so I can learn their pitch, because I that was a weakness and I didn't know it and I wanted to learn it. And a lot of people would just tell me, like, amazingly, like agents who have been in the business forever, huge book, they're like, I don't have a pitch. And I just didn't understand that. I was like, I don't understand that. What do you mean you don't have a pitch? But it wasn't until conversations with people like you, I started to realize that it was just questions. And then what I did personally with my business is I started to model it off of my doctor. A doctor asks you a question and then they write it down. And then they ask you a question, they write it down. So I sit there with a notebook and I just ask questions and I just write and I just tell them right up front, I'm going to write everything down so I don't forget any of the important details. Is that okay? And they're like, sure, no problem. And I just, even sitting here, I have a notebook and I'm just like writing notes to myself.
And my tip is the Remarkable. I use the Remarkable. It's a tablet and I take notes the whole time. And the note, while you're taking notes, it allows you to think, is this guy an owl? Is this girl a parrot? Are they emotionally attached to the house? Is it a commodity? But it gives you time to act on your feet, because you're going to pitch so differently to a parrot than an owl. Right? Owl's analytical. They want the data. The parrot is just like, we had to have Thanksgiving here and blah, blah, blah. So I'm with you 1,000%. And I can't tell you how many pitches I won. And I'll say, why did I win? And they'll say, because you took notes and the other agents didn't. If I knew that, I would have started out taking notes, right? So tell that to the new agent.
They liked you. They connected with you better is really what it all, like, it's basically the whole spirit of you being there was a better experience for them. I do the same thing in the upper left-hand corner. I use disk as my default.
Because you're smarter than me. I can't keep it in.
I figured out, I learned it from Ninja, an easy way to look at it in my mind. And that's, so I just kind of model it that way. But I'll write down what their dominant is, if it's a D and I, an S or a C. And then I start to write down, like, if I hear them repeat a word, if they say lovely a couple times, and then I write that down and I make sure that I'm using their vocabulary. And so I start, so my notebook is, it's basically entering their world. And I'm asking questions to understand they have something in their mind. They have a vision of something. And I need to ask enough questions so I can understand and see that vision too.
And the girls on my team always want to go with me on the pitches, and I love to have them, except that I really fly by the seat of my pants. So sometimes I always want them involved if they're there, so that I'm pitching questions to them to help them be a part of the conversation. So sometimes it throws me off. But I say to them, I'm literally a chameleon who goes in, a chameleon running a team that's a robot, right? Because I can market any house. Right. And tell the story of the house, and the market belongs to those who market. So we're going to get that house everywhere. Google, you know, everything. But I need to first figure out whose house I'm selling. So I'm a chameleon. I got to become more like them and then do the magic, which, you know, what our team does for the listings is magic. So I'm okay with it. I'm very comfortable that we're delivering what we promise. I just got to make sure they believe that.
It's funny. I'm laughing and smiling and agreeing with you, because I've always identified my sales approach as a chameleon. And it's funny, because doing this podcast, I don't have any prepared questions. I have zero notes beforehand and I wing it and I ask questions. And then you'll say something interesting and curious to me, so I'll ask another question. So, like, this whole thing is basically how I pitch as well. I'm curious and I'm exploring and I'm like, oh, this is important because you're bringing it up. Let's talk more about this.
Yeah. And I get out in an hour, usually 45 minutes. So, right. So, like, I used to, when I was trained by like someone 100,000 years ago at whatever first brokerage, they were like, they came piled high with these books of all the stuff they've done, and they'd be in there dancing for an hour and a half, 2 hours. Half the time, someone will say, just to manage my time, how long you'll be here? I'll say 45 minutes. They'll say, thank God, because the other person we interviewed was here for 2 hours. Yeah, it's funny. It's a funny world.
Scientifically, after 30 minutes, it's like a rapid decline of attention.
Another trick for your team, you bring the team in, you tell them to be quiet for 20 seconds. You set a timer, 20 seconds. And when it's done, you say, was that a long time or was that a short time? And they're like, that was painful. I said, now imagine the seller listening to you talk for 20 seconds because they're so stressed out. My house is messy. We haven't updated. They're going to hate the kitchen. They didn't take a glass of water from me. I feel like I'm not good. The hospitality isn't there. So when you're talking, they're just worrying about all sorts of other stuff. And that's why I try to remind them, we shouldn't be talking.
You know what's funny is I recently heard, and I love this one, extroverts use silence as an opportunity to talk. Introverts use silence as an opportunity to think. And so you just got to be quiet for a second. And it's so hard, like 20 seconds. Sometimes just being quiet, because you can tell when somebody just has... They're forming their thought and you just have to give them that space.
Like now when I'm negotiating with an agent, obviously I've been doing it a long time, I'll be like, I say what I have to say and then I stop talking. Whereas 3 years ago, I'd be da, 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 da. Now, and silence is the best negotiation.
It's like the old school, after you give your pitch, the sales, after you go for the close, shut up. Don't say anything. And then the rule is whoever speaks first loses. And so if you're the person pitching, don't say anything. I love it. Francie, you are amazing. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Next time we'll have an IPA.
Oh my God. Can we please?
Yes. Yes. This is so much fun.
This is super cool. I will leave your contact information below. So if anybody wants to reach out or has questions, they will have the opportunity to do that. But again, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Yes. Thanks for having me.